From one end of America to another, the critics are raving about blazing stewardesses. Blazing stewardesses outblazes blazing saddles.
Gunhall!
Blazing stewardesses out Panthers Pink Panther. Blazing stewardesses out sexes everything you wanted to know about sex.
Gunhall!
Blazing stewardesses is all that and more. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Please, Gunhall!
From Independent International.
We have sailed many ways, we have sailed many days, 7 days to the week, I allow.
Come listen, people, while I tell you again, the five unmistakable marks, by which you may know, wheresoever you go, the warranted genuine snarks. Let us take them in order. The first is the taste, meager and hollow but crisp, like a coat that's a little too tight in the waist, with the flavor of will-o'-the-wisp. We have sailed many weeks, we have sailed many days, 7 days to the week, I allow. But a true snark on who we might lovingly gaze, we have never beheld till now. Getting up late, you'll agree, carries too far when I say that it frequently breakfasts at 5 o'clock tea, dies on the following day. The third is a slowness in taking a guess, should you happen to venture on one, it will sigh like a thing that is deeply distressed, and it always looks sweet at a fun. We have sailed many weeks, we have sailed many days, 7 days to the week, I allow. But a true snark on who we might lovingly gaze, we have never beheld till now. The fourth is his fondness for bathing machines, which it constantly carries about, and believes that they add to the beauty of scenes, a sentiment open to doubt. The fifth is ambition, and next will be right to describe each particular bay, distinguishing those that have feathers and bite, and those that have whiskers and scratch.
For all your home stocks, do no manner of harm, in a field of my duty to see, some are bosoms, bowmen. Broke off in alarm, for the baker had fainted away.
We have sailed many weeks, we have sailed many days, 7 days to the week, I allow. But a true snark on who we might lovingly gaze, we have never beheld till now. We have sailed many weeks, we have sailed many days, 7 days to the week, I allow. But a true snark on board, we might lovingly gaze, we have never beheld.
Thank you. soon in each of the movies.
Ah, greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives, whether we want to or not. The future is in your hands. So let us remember the past, honor the present, and...
Stop in yourself!
Hey, it's Stop Hitting Yourself number 320. Not 420. 320 for Monday, October 20th. Well, it's always Monday here on Radio Mysterioso. And Stop Hitting Yourself, it's not Radio Mysterioso. That's my other show, which I haven't done for a while. I'm about to go on a trip. DJ Georgia Girl has been very, very, very kind and playful and happy to do the show where we just talk about stuff, because she said, what did you say that people said?
That people want to know what it is that we talk about in between the records playing, because we're always laughing when we come back on the air, and they were like, what do you talk about?
Yeah.
What is occurring?
Yeah, here, let me play this Dr. D and then the music, and then we'll go into the show. DJ Georgia Girl has picked out these wonderful instrumental Beatles and solo Beatles songs. All done by, what would you call them?
It's very sort of like easy listening. It's all very, yeah, that.
Yeah. Here's Dr. D, who just had his last show the other day, last week.
Wow. This is Dr. Demento, and you're listening to Stop Hitting Yourself with DJ Space Brother on Sheena's Jungle Room at old WFMU.
And then the first song starts. There we go. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm out of breath for some reason, and I don't know why. It's not like I've been running around like a blue-ass fly, but for some reason, just sitting in my chair has made me completely winded. I've winded myself. There you go.
Are people hearing us okay? Because Georgia Girl said that the last show she sounded very muffled.
Well, we've got David the Splatter in the chat, so perhaps he could let us know. Can you... David, my lovely, can you hear us, sweetie? If you could let us know if we're coming through loud and clear.
Yeah, because
obviously if we don't see any comment, then we know that nobody can hear the last thing.
Let's see if I can,
and we're just talking to ourselves.
See if I can that turn on that fan. It doesn't make too much noise. Yeah, well, over the music it won't. It's warm here.
It's been weird here.
Yeah.
We had torrential rain this morning, and I went to the swimming pool, and I was joking with the receptionist, and I said, I decided I'm wet anyway. I might as well get in the pool. What is about? Yeah.
Squidbeak says, I can hear, so I'm thanking them.
Yay!
Them there.
Hello!
That is not a name I recognize from my show. Or at least that has comment on the show, so welcome. Probably somebody is, thank you, Jay. Georgia Girl is hearable.
I'm hearable. Yeah. And I'm there-able as well. And I'm everywhere-able.
Always.
Okay, no one laugh. I made a Beatles show. Laugh at my Beatles show.
Georgia Girl said in the chat, if you've got any questions, ask away. Uh-oh, I need to restart the pop-up player at the top of the hour. Oh, that's weird. Well, hopefully... slightly muffled sounding, but fully hearable. That's funny.
Okay. Well, as long as you can hear us, that's the main thing.
Okay, well, I'll turn down the bass here and turn up the mid and high end so that it's less muffly.
That's very technical.
Yes. I've got three bands of equalization here on this cheap-ass mixing board. Low, medium, and high.
Yeah, but you've got the one with the slidey things. Mine doesn't have the slidey things. Faders, yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, I wanted to get the slidey things because then it feels all real, like a real radio station or a mixer or something. The four-track one I gave to a friend of mine, he passed away from cancer, and then somebody went to his apartment and took everything away, including my mixer. But I don't use that mixer anymore. Good. I know.
That's very good. No. Yeah, you feel like a professional DJ because you're going, I'm just going to fade in the vocals now and fade out the music. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have to have the board here. And then for, what, 25, 30 years, I worked with a mixing board doing audio mixing for TV and film post-production, like after it had been shown and all. I wasn't involved anywhere near the glamorous part of it. It was just like, oh, The Simpsons needs different music for the entire run of the show in this part. So could you put that in there? So, you know, a week putting music in every single Simpsons episode ever. That kind of thing.
Oh, my God. Blimey. I hope they paid you well.
The last job I had, I was paid better than I'd ever been paid before, but I only had it for like 2 years, and then they laid me off. I kept getting laid off, so last time I just said, let's see. And nobody would hire me because I'm old. I figured that out after like 6 months of looking for work and doing this for years.
Right.
And I finally talked to a couple people and said, they don't want older people because they have expectations and money and brains. I know, expectations for money and brains to ask for what they want.
I had a job interview for, because I used to do web design. And I had a job interview with a web design company, right?
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, I had experience, I had done all this stuff, I had a portfolio, blah, 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 blah. And I interviewed with this guy, and he said to me, I'll be honest with you, you probably won't get the job. And I said, oh, you know, any reason why? And bearing in mind, this was about 20, 25 years ago, so I was about 35, 40. And he said, you do know this is a very young industry, don't you? And I was like, wow.
Well, yeah, wow. If anybody said that here, they would be sued out of existence. I wouldn't do it, but they can't do that. They can just not reply to you. So that's fine. It allowed me to do more things like this show and meet you and hang out with Mr. Fab, so that he suddenly one day said, hey, I'm putting together a show on WFMU. Do you want to be one of the DJs? And I went, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, speaking of, so
I think his site's still up.
Will you share your birthday with Sheena's Jungle Room?
October 26th.
I don't know if you knew. Yeah. And this October 26th means Sheena will be 7 years old on the 26th on Sunday. Which means you and I have known each other for 7 years.
As yesterday plays.
Isn't that wild?
It's crazy. Dave the Splatter says a common thing on the stream, especially when switching from the robot to the live show. Oh, okay. I did not know that, because my listening is always cutting in when somebody's already doing their show, listening for a while, then having to go do something and not being able to listen again. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, after you.
The list is an AMA, so ask me us an AUA. Ask us anything.
Yep.
What's one of the questions? I would write, where do you find this crazy music? That would be one of my questions.
Well, we have a question. We have a question for David the Splatter.
Oh, that's right.
Which is, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? And you said...
I said it's a philosophical question and unanswerable.
There you go. And I said, how long's a piece of string?
Another one.
There you go. Which is a very polite and intellectual way of saying, I haven't the faintest idea.
Me either. It depends on the woodchuck and the chucking.
Yeah. depends on the weather, I guess. If the wood is wet, I imagine it's a lot harder to...
chuck?
Because what is chucking?
I don't know. In the United States, chucking is throwing.
Well, yeah, same here. Like if you're dating someone and you're no longer dating them, they've chucked you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So is it when they? I don't. Okay, there you go. We're opening it up to the plate, to the chat. What is chucking? Oh, also, when you've got a drill, the thing on the end of the drill, that's a chuck.
The thing that holds the drill.
Yeah.
In, that's the chuck. Yeah, but that's not a verb, because a woodchuck is chucking wood. It's not. It can't be doing it with a noun. It has to be doing it with the verb. So chucking is the verb. So it'd have to, how much, no, how much could it throw?
You're blowing my mind, man. What are you talking about?
What's the other question? My question was, where do you find all this weird music? The thing is, I just get an idea in my head and I just start going through my records or looking online and stuff happens.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
And the only thing it does, or the main thing this does, is it forces me to find new music, which I normally wouldn't be doing. I just kind of happen onto it by accident. Now I have to make an effort. Mm-hmm. So there's, and I told Georgie, the main criteria for having music on my show is my mouth hanging open the first time I hear it.
Yeah. Your jaw hits the floor. You're like, I must have this. I have a question for you. With your show, when you get an idea, do you have one specific record that you know has to be in the show?
Oh, yeah, every
and
time.
Everything else is built around it. Yeah. Yeah. Same. Same. There's a must have.
Yeah, I'll be listening to that song and say, oh, that'd make a good show. Oh, yeah, I could do a whole show on that.
There you go.
So yeah. Themed shows take a while, so I have to actually prepare for them. And as all this stuff in my life now winds down so that I don't have so much other things to do, I'll have more time to plan shows, because I don't usually plan them very well. I'll get it, if I get a really good idea the week before, then I'll work on it because I got a few days. But right. Usually on Monday morning, I'm like, and trying to play music, depending on when I wake up. And I'm always surprised at what people like. It's almost never what I like.
See, I have, this is what I find. When I really, really put like blood, sweat and tears into a show and I like craft everything and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so proud of myself. And people go, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
And then when it's last minute and I throw something together and I think, oh no, everybody's like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Yeah. And I don't know, you can't just sit there and plan for it. I mean, DJing is like art. You just kind of like think of things and you start painting with colors and what comes together comes together.
See, maybe that's it. Maybe when we're not quite so sort of tightly organized about it, we're actually being sort of our authentic creative selves. And that's why people like, does that make sense?
Say that again.
You're looking at me like
I was looking at Jay's question, actually, which we'll get to in a second.
When we put shows together where, like, if I don't do a show a week in advance where I've planned it out and I've got a theme and da-da-da-da-da, but when it's a bit more loose, is that because we're being more authentically creative and just going with the flow and thus being true to ourselves and, yeah?
Yeah, I would say so. That there's more chance for cool, unplanned stuff to happen if you are riffing instead of planning.
Yeah. Well, like that time you messaged me and you had an emergency and you were like, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to make my show. I know there's only 10 minutes to go. Is there any way you could do this? And I had one record in my head and I started with that record and then I just kept going and I kind of riffed off of that record and the whole thing was live and I had no idea what I was doing.
Yep.
And it was the most fun. It was the most fun. It was like seat of my pants stuff. It was phenomenal.
I haven't done that in so long. I've done a couple of, or at least one of those shows. I'd like to do another one. Jay had a question about, I'm sorry, my eye is very itchy. Oh, idea for a show. Buy albums based on the ugliest album covers at the local record store and assembling a set using whatever music is on them. I have a ton of those. And a lot of times the ugliest record covers have the most boring music on them.
Yeah.
You know what? It's like to me, it's like bad movies or Ed Wood or whatever. The worst sin you can have for anything mediocre is that it, or silly or crazy, is that it's boring. Mm.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of boring stuff. So that would be have to be a very carefully curated show. I mean, Ugly would be a good show. Ugly covers. And another good show would be covers where you go, there's got to be something good on here. Look at this cover.
Yeah. Again, you know, like last week when we were doing the thrift store albums, and I was saying to you, like, some of the the Phase 4 album series. You look at the cover and they are the most incredible things possible. You could frame them and put them on your wall. They're like the most groovy psychedelic covers possible. And it's all like easy listening people going, Born to be wild. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, this is magnificent. Yeah. I once bought a Mantovani album because I liked the font face. There you go. In time. Yeah. I was like, that font face is beautiful. Cost me 50p and it was worth every penny because it was the most beautiful font face. And I was like, you've never listened to the album.
Yeah, sometimes that works too. Sometimes the graphic designer were as hip or more so than the people putting the record, the musicians.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the producers, you know, the record company's idea. It's like the better we make this look and the more slick and the more modern, the more people are going to go, well, that must be what the music sounds like.
Yeah. I've got a Ray Conniff one and it's a gatefold sleeve and it's this incredible, you know, the amazing massive stereo systems you could get with like the walnut wood, very mid-century modern.
And yeah, it's like my dad had one and he sold it, which depressed me enormously. He had a KLH system with the walnut and then the pedestal, white pedestal. That was my stereo when I was in high school.
Yeah. And also we had, you know, the turntables where you could like stack singles on.
Yes.
We had one of those, but we had a copy of Paul McCartney and Wings' My Love, which was slightly warped. And if you put it on the top of the stack, by the time the stack went down, you know, the final note where he just goes to me and it just, the orchestra kind of goes me. It used to go ring, ring.
And that's how you remember it.
And that's how I remember it. Yeah. If I ever saw him do that in concert, and I'd just be like, no, you're in tune. No, it's not working.
Christina in Canada says, I'm slow, but just on Saturday I learned that Magical Mystery Tour is an EP, not an LP. Well, I guess it is because the American release had all the George Martin music on it.
Did it?
I think. Oh, no, that was Yellow Submarine.
Yellow Submarine. I was like, what?
No, sorry. I don't know what I'm doing.
And it's got the booklet in it as well. The booklet.
Yes, the one that has them all sitting on the bus and it says 28 if above him, above Paul, I think, or maybe John.
No, that's Abbey Road.
No. That's in the Magical Mystery Tour book.
No, it's on Abbey Road. It's on the back cover. It's on Abbey Road.
Oh, it's the one in Magical Mystery Tour is the best way to go is by MDC, which was everybody thought Mark David Chapman. That is in the Magical Mystery Tour book. Over John's or under John's heads, it says the best way to go is by MDC.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
To be macabre. Jay says, I got Thor's Keep the Dogs Away based on the odd looking cover, like a glam bodybuilder walking his dogs down the street. It actually sounds exactly like how that cover looks. Those are the best records. And it's funny because some of them just become that way later. What?
Sorry, it's Thor. What's the name?
I just Thor, Keep the Dogs Away.
Keep the Dogs Away. I'm looking it up. Keep the dog away. Bum-bidi-bum. Oh my God.
How's the cover?
Brace yourself.
Yeah, hold it up in front of the camera so I can see it.
You see it?
That, I want to hear that album. You're right, Jay. I really want to hear that album. Jay, can you put a link to that image somewhere in the chat here so people can see it? Because if I saw that album in the store, I'd buy it. Especially if it was like, you know, $1. I went to the Goodwill the other day to go combing through records, and they're $3 now. They used to be 90 cents. And then they were $1, and then they were like $2. Now it's $3 for everything.
Keep talking, because I'm not near the camera now because you want me to... Hang on.
Okay.
Please hold.
Well, the other thing that I found was... a unwrapped, but not with the shrink wrap not taken off, a Slim Whitman album from the 60s. It's in absolutely pristine condition. So that was $3. So that made up for the other things that were $3 that were more. And I think I got another one, like Tennessee Ernie Ford or something. But anyway, there are a few decent finds over there at the Goodwill.
I'm trying to do the technical.
There used to be a place in Pasadena that sold 78s, and I bought something like between 100 and 278 RPM records from them. They were anywhere from 25 cents to $5. Like Duke Ellington would be $5. There was a comedy record of these blackface guys that were three records all together, and that cost me $1 for the three records. But I can't play them on my show.
Yeah.
But this was like 25 years ago when I bought them.
And I'm trying to add this.
I should do another show where I just play stuff on the wind-up Victrola. But there's big pauses in between. I think I did that before. I would talk, and I had a microphone hanging over the Vic. There it is. Thank you. Thank you so much. If you look in the images for the playlist, the very first thing is the Thor record. Thank you, Jay. I mean, thanks, DJ Joji Girl, for putting up, but thanks, Jay, for mentioning that. That's insane. Why would you not want to hear that record?
I know. Hang on. Hello, H.
Oh, hi.
And hello, Christina. And how, Miss Nithning? Let me try that again with my teeth in. Hello, Mr. Fab.
Yes. I'm thinking. I hate the Eagles with a passion.
I know you do, and I don't know why, but anyway.
Maybe because I'm from California and that's all you could hear. Yeah, the one Eagles track that I like is Journey of the Sorcerer, which is the theme song for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
There you go.
So I bought the album One of These Nights, which it's the last track on it. And my friend and I spent an entire afternoon drunk and stoned defacing the cover. So there's like, we put black electrical tape over them and put Frank Zappa mustaches and beards on some of them. And then on the record, I actually wrote on the record with gold pen and red and like a bunch. I wrote over and scratched up all the tracks and wrote, this all sucks except this. And there's an arrow. I still have it. There's an arrow pointing to the one track. And so that's the one pristine track that I did not touch and did not ruin. But
Now you have to tell the listeners, when you sent me a photograph of yourself and you said, I'm sending this to you because you're the only person I know who would actually be happy about this. Do you remember what that was? I'll give you a clue. You were in Arizona.
I don't remember. Was it Billy Joel being tortured?
No. You were in a very specific town in Arizona, and you were standing.
Oh, that's right. I was in Winslow, yes. And I had a very, very sour look on my face. Because Winslow is beautiful. Yeah, it has a beautiful old hotel that was built there. It was one of the Harvey House hotels built on the train lines that took people to the Grand Canyon and all that in the 1920s and 30s. And it's a beautifully restored, incredible hotel. And then that stupid standing on the corner in town.
And I think I replied to you in capital letters, oh my God, I'm so happy you're in Winslow. And you were like, you're the only person who would know that. And you're the only person who would get joy from it. And I was like, I love the Eagles. You're the dude.
What?
You're the dude.
How do you mean?
In the Big Lebowski. In the Big Lebowski, he hates the Eagles.
That's right. I remember when he said that, and I like cheered in the theater, and I was, yay! Oh! Everybody turned around and looked at me.
What have you got against the Eagles, man?
Hotel California makes perfect sense if you're on an island in Thailand. Otherwise, not at all. I can see that.
Yeah.
As I said, I mean, I grew up here. I'm from here. And so that's all you ever heard. And the people that I couldn't stand were all into it, which is the same reason I didn't listen to Van Halen for years until I was older and away from all those people. I was like, you know what? They were pretty good. And I'm kind of proud of them. I mean, I'm not, I don't think that's like any great achievement except for possibly Eddie Van Halen. But why not? But I could just never get past the Eagles.
This is why, apart from one track, I hate Poppy Family. Because growing up in Vancouver, they were the local band. And when they made like the national charts, everybody lost their minds. So every hour on the hour on every single radio station in Vancouver, all you heard was the Poppy Family, to the point where I wanted to gouge out my own eyes.
I've never heard of them. Who the hell is that?
Which Way Are You Going, Billy?
I vaguely remember that song.
Yeah, that's them.
And dear. Terry Jackson
did Seasons in the Sun.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Put the Bone In, which is a lot better than Seasons in the Sun.
But Where Evil Grows, that's the only Poppy Family song that I like. The rest of it, no.
It grows in the Poppy Family.
Oh, hello, Feldy.
Mr. Fab says, I have many reasons why the Eagles suck, that too many to list now, but irrefutable evidence. I don't doubt that.
Here's a theory. As a British person, maybe it's California is all sunny and lovely, and these people are from, maybe that's where I like them, and I don't know.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's nobody likes California anymore in this country, but I think that's probably part of the reason. And you know what I say? It's like Billy Joel. I can't stand him. Fine musician, writes great songs. Can't stand him. That's how I feel about the Eagles. Fine musicians, wrote great songs. Can't stand it. Nothing for me.
See, I think it's a testimony to our friendship that not only do you hate Billy Joel, but the one song that really, really incenses you is my favorite Billy Joel song. And yet we're still friends. I love Moving
What's
Out.
What's that, Moving Out? Oh, yeah, because of the ack thing that I play.
Love that song.
I think most people What's listening now have heard that.
Show me down at Sullivan Street, across from the medical center.
Like I said, incredible music. Just can't stand him.
I get it. All right, I'm having another drink, everyone. Drinking water. Just if people are listening on headphones, maybe they might be a bit. I'm gonna go away from the microphone. Hang on.
Okay, wait. Let me turn this down for a second.
There we go.
This is the ack I was talking about. Is it working? Oh, it's not coming out of it because it's this thing's playing. Maybe I have to put it in pause.
Pause the Beatles.
Okay, I won't.
Dare you pause the Beatles?
Disgusting. Nope, that's not
going to work. You were going to tell people about the woman on the bus?
Which woman on the bus?
The woman on the bus who started a conversation with you when she was with her father, and you said, only here could this happen. I'll give you a clue.
I'm so old. What?
The woman on the bus that you were talking to, and then she asked you a question about a particular part of her anatomy, and her father joined in.
Oh, when we were coming back from a baseball game. I was.
Yeah.
I don't remember about the particular part of the anatomy, but she kept asking, and she's like, there was a 20-year-old kid sitting next to me, and then this woman who was like in her probably mid-30s or early 40s, probably, drunk out of her mind. And she asked me if I would do her. And I was like, you're drunk and I'm not going to answer you. Or no, she asked me what I would do to her or something like that. And I said, I'm not going to answer you drunk person.
She specifically said, and apologies to anybody of a sensitive nature, she said, would you like to do my pussy? And you said it was a voice loud enough to strip paint on the bus.
Yes, It was the trolley line in San Diego, and her father was behind her, listening to all this, and he had a chihuahua in a backpack.
There's so many levels to it where you're like, okay, that's weird. Okay, no, that's really weird. Okay, that is incredibly weird.
And then the kids started apologizing to me for not like jumping in and running interference for me when the woman was asking me all these questions. And, you know, it's a loud trolley train, so she is yelling in my face, and it smells like beer. And she's not attractive, which makes it, at least to me, which makes it even more excruciating. Actually, I think she would have been if she wasn't such a drunk, wild person.
Yeah.
She was jungle.
We have eight saying, suck music loving brother, love the Eagles, and much of that ilk makes my flesh crawl. Dave the Splatter. Oh, he's heading out. Okay, safe travels.
Okay,
my
bye,
lovely.
Dave. P.S.
Don Henley is a massive dick. That's what he says.
I've heard that. He ought to hang out with Mike Love.
Yeah. Jay says, my home state produced Hootie and the Blowfish. They were played on pop, adult, contemporary, and rock stations, so they were effectively impossible to mistake. Yeah, the Poppy family. Everywhere! That's also why I hate popcorn. You know that god-awful bloody popcorn song?
Yeah, the buy hot butter or whatever it was.
Every 10 minutes, it felt like when I was a child.
Yes,
that song.
I was in Southern California, and they when there was a break on one of the UHF stations, they always played that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was their bumper music every time.
No,
I didn't know what it was, but it was in my head all the time.
Yeah,
because I'd come home to watch Speed Racer and the Three Stooges and the Little Rascals, mm-hmm. and in between all those, they'd play that goddamn popcorn song.
Yeah. Did you know? You know, Starship, we built this city.
Yep.
You know, in the middle of the song, there's the radio guy who's like, "It's a gorgeous sunny Saturday here in San Francisco." There's a second version of that song, which was the UK release, which had to be edited because so many people phoned the radio station and complained and said, "Can you stop telling us how sunny it is in California? Thank you." It was annoying people so much they had to edit the song. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Like when you turn your camera around and you say, "Do you want to look outside my window?" And I'm like, "Yeah, thanks." Yeah,
I won't do that again. Says I'd be banned from FMU if I'd let out some of the bands I hate. Hey, you know what? You know, I kind of get tired of cool bands too. There's a lot of them I don't like either. I can't think of any right now. There's a few
music
people that are trying too hard pisses me off. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hate Coldplay. There you go. I've said it. I hate Coldplay. Bite me. I don't like Ed Sheeran. I mean, you know what? Music is music. If you like it, that's great. I'm not going to yuck your yum. Everybody likes different kinds of music.
I don't. I don't. I don't put people down. I will just say the bands I don't like. I mean, if somebody's actually playing the Eagles, I go. I don't jump up and say, "What is wrong with you?" I just kind of I just kind of shut it off for a while till they're done. Sometimes it comes on my radio or something, and I scream like I'm being tortured for a while, and then I turn it off.
Different tastes. Everybody has different tastes. Everybody has different connections with... However, if anybody doesn't like the Beatles, I will arm wrestle you until you throw up.
I know a couple people don't like the Beatles, but they're so self-consciously cool and hip. It's just like... If they liked the Beatles, they immediately wouldn't be a cool, hip person. Yeah. And it just really pisses me off when people do that.
I don't think I've ever been cool. I think there was a small window, perhaps, in my 20s, but I missed it quite spectacularly. And I've just never, ever been cool. But I think that's okay, because I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Mr. Fab, hating Coldplay is probably a WFMU universal opinion. Bandit, who I've not seen before. It's okay that you're late. I'm so and next on Stop Hitting Yourself, Coldplay followed by the Eagles. I think I should play an Eagles. I should do just a whole show of songs I can't stand, just to see if I can get through it.
Ooh! I've just had a great idea.
And I'll just scream through half of them. Yeah.
How about I pick songs that I think you're going to hate, and then you and I talk about them, and I'm going to see if I can make you cry.
Okay, go.
What now?
Oh, okay. At some point.
At some point, yeah. Okay. What does everybody think on the... Oh, no, H, they made us dance to popcorn in primary school. That's abuse.
Yeah.
That's abuse.
I think you could bring that up and have a case in court. I mean, that the statute of limitations on making you listen to popcorn is... I don't think it expires. Yeah. It's like murder.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. No. Find your local organization that's just... You've just made me think of something. So, you know, at school, if you forget your gym kit, and you have to go and sit on the stage and people look at you. And me and my friend, we'd forgotten our kit and we couldn't do PE, so we had to go into the hall. And there was a class and they were doing interpretive dance.
Oh, dear.
Don't ask me why, but they were. But this was the first time I ever heard Elton John's Funeral for a Friend. That's what they were doing interpretive dance to. And it blew my mind because I was like, what is this music? I need this music immediately. I was about 12, I think, 13, something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, yeah. I had Yellow Brick Road when I was that age. So first album
that's
I ever got. Huh?
I was going to say, that's one for you, Jay.
What's the first album you ever got with your own like allowance money? What?
Venus and Mars by Wings.
Oh my God. I mean I can't talk now. My first was Toccata and Fugue in D minor played on a harpsichord.
Wow.
And in the same trip I bought Elton John's Greatest Hits.
Wow. I mean, okay, technically my mother won a radio competition in 1970, so I would have been 6. And she won an album and she gave it to me, and it was Herb Alpert's Greatest Hits, which explains quite a lot about me.
Yes, explains a lot.
Okay. Not, you know, like you always say, your first album is the one that you go to without a parent. Yeah?
Yeah.
What was your actual first concert you ever went to?
Devo.
So your parents?
Oh, well, my dad had to drive me there, but he left me there.
No. Like, with your parents, when you were a child, you went to see somebody on a stage singing or performing or whatever.
Victor Borge.
Wow! Seriously?
Yeah.
Bloody hell! I'm so jealous.
He's like the classical Tom Lehrer or something. Not even that. He's more like slapstick classical.
He was incredible. I love him.
Yeah,
I'm so jealous.
My dad and mom thought it'd be nice to take us to see that, and we loved it. I must have liked it because I remember it.
I'm so impressed.
Oh, and then the first one after that, my dad, when I was 14, my dad drove me to see Devo and then came back and picked me up. Mm. And then the first concert I saw, I think, without my parents and that I went to completely on my own was... Oingo Boingo with the Fibonacci's opening for them at my college. For free. I had lunch with the Fibonacci's drummer the other day. He is going to come on the show sometime after I get back from Italy, and we're going to play his music he likes and has influenced him and his favorite drummers and all that. He's the drummer from the Fibonacci's, and he worked with Stan Ridgway and, God, a few other bands, but... He has his own band, own two or three bands. So he's a complete musician. So Joe Berardi will be on the show here and probably within the next month or so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, ask me.
Yes, ask me. What was it? What was the first one? As within you, without your place.
It was Roy Rogers and Dale Evans.
Okay, that blows me out of the water. That's completely that nothing I did makes any sense anymore. That's amazing. Yeah. Where?
All I that I can't tell you. It would have been either somewhere in British Columbia, or we would have driven across the border and gone to like Seattle or Portland or something. And I was 4.
Oh.
And all I remember was them walking out on the stage, and there were like hay bales on the stage. Yeah. And the one after that was 1973, when I was 9, and I saw Sammy Davis Jr.
Amazing. I've never seen any of those people, because I was too stupid then, and my parents were not music people. My dad liked classical music, and my mom listened to Herb Alpert on the radio. So I guess that's pretty cool. And yeah. She used to hum along to Herb Alpert songs.
Yeah.
And she would sing in the kitchen while she was cooking. Jay said Queen's Greatest Hits was the first I bought with my own money. Nice. Bandit said Rolling Stones, Jump Back, Best of the Rolling Stones. That's another good one. First album I bought with my own money. H says, I love harpsichord. I blame the Addams Family. Yes.
Yeah.
That's probably why I got it. My dad's two favorite shows were Star Trek and the Addams Family. And we would sit down, and the only thing we did other things together, but the only TV watch together was Star Trek and the Addams Family.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So Black Cat, I bartend at a large music venue. Last night, T-Pain covered Journey, You Know the Song. There is a meme. It's an old meme. And it's something like the clarion call for Gen X. And it's just all these like Gen X people like putting out the garbage or going to get the mail. And then you just hear the dum 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 beginning of And they kind of go, what was that? What was that? Or it's the pipes from Sledgehammer.
Yeah.
There's like compilations of like sounds only Gen X can hear. Oh my God. Okay, it gets worse with H. We had to do the Madison
with
popcorn. That's wrong. No. No. Oh, you have to read John Randall's.
I did. I'll read it out. I can confirm John Randall says that Mike Love is a huge a-hole. My son-in-law is an engineer for a local theater and club. He had to mix the music of the latest version of the Beach Boys. All the other members of the band were great. Well, Love was just a creep and complained about the venue. The sound, the everything, anywhere. Everything, anywhere. There's that. Came in later, work hour changes. Oh, I see. Came in later, the show, work hour changes. Love the discussion. Well, thanks for being here, John. I know you're a regular on the show, and thank you for being here for this. I didn't know how people would feel about us just talking, but I'm actually having a lot of fun, and it sounds like people are engaged. So that's fine. Anytime I do something different, I'm nervous.
It's good, though. It's good, though. Okay. Listener vote time. Which do you prefer? I'm going to put you on the spot. Greg's British accent or my American accent?
Oh, it's got to be me. I got to be the worst one.
No. Go on. Go first.
I'm trying to think of something to say.
Well, you always... Coffee. Strong coffee.
Strong coffee.
The door is launched in the fog.
You have to tell people where you got that, because that made me cry. It was a couple of British people listening to a woman who was a dialogue coach trying to tell everybody how British people spoke. And so they kept making fun of her. And it's even, I mean, and then they'll start getting, it's like, wow, she's getting all these regions mixed up. And now she's using this posh British and then some northern accent at the same time. And it doesn't work. But she'd always say, coffee.
So it's Adam and Joe. It was the Adam and Joe show on the radio. Adam Buxton and Joe Cornish. Mm-hmm. And it's this American woman, and she's like, I'm going to teach you how to speak British. And she's like, instead of coffee, you say, copper. And fog. The dog was lost in the fog. I talk like that all the time when I'm not on air. This is a completely made up voice. I don't talk that. Greg will tell you, I do not talk like this in real life. When we talk privately, I talk like this.
I have to keep from laughing the whole time. I know she's trying. She really wants to show me her true self. Excuse me, I'm going to get a coffee. Oh, sorry about the dog. There's a dog barking outside. Excuse me. Oh, I spilled my coffee.
We've killed Bandit. Bandit is now officially dead from laughing. There you go.
I hope it's from laughing. First record I bought was terrible. This is H. Vapor's New Clear Days. Nothing wrong with that. But I bought it from John Fox Metamatic, which is a very well worn and loved. Oh, I bought John Fox's Metamatic. It's a very one.
I love Godspell. That's one of my favorite musicians of all time. I love that. But I'm not a God botherer, you see, so I can appreciate it for the music.
I never really thought about Roger Moore doing a mid-Atlantic accent. Does he? I guess he does.
Does he? I just thought of him as being sort of generically posh. Sorry, I have to wipe my nose. I just thought of him as being like generically posh. Does he ever? Is Mid-Atlantic the one the old Hollywood stars in the 30s used to do so that they sounded sort of pleasing to everyone? Where they all talk like that. Catherine Hepburn going on the movies and saying, hello. No, that's not right at all.
No, Catherine Hepburn was her own thing. There was a pianist, a jazz pianist named Marion McPartland, who used to have a jazz show on a local LA station, probably not KXLU, but the one at Northridge. Anyway, she sounded like Catherine Hepburn. She's like, that was, what did she say? Run. That was Duke Ellington. And my first wife said, her and Catherine Hepburn, he should interview Catherine Hepburn. Well, Marion, how are you doing? I'm fine, Catherine. Would you like a coffee?
It's a pleasure to be here today.
And she was an incredible jazz pianist, but she sounded like Catherine Hepburn when she talked like this on the radio.
Wow. Well, I had a brisk walk over here because now I've gone into Cary Grant.
Yes.
How did that happen?
No one talks like that. That's I remember that in Some Like It Hot, Tony Curtis made fun of.
Yes.
Or no, Jack Lemmon made fun of Tony Curtis when he was trying to be that rich mid-Atlantic accent guy with the yacht. But he was doing basically Cary Grant, and he said, come on, no one talks like that.
Now, I want to hear Gigi talk with a Southern Texas accent, that's Mr. Fab, but about British stuff like making tea with the Queen. Okay. Okay, let me do it. I'm going to hit you with my best shot. Making tea with the Queen. I went over to Buckingham Palace the other day and I made myself a pot of tea with the Queen. Ow. Hurt my foot. And how did I do?
Pretty good. It sounds more Southern than Texan to me, but I really wouldn't know what Texan sounded like.
Okay.
Even though I have friends from Texas, but that people have kind of, I mean, after Gen X or so, people kind of lost their accent in Texas. It's a little bit there, especially if you go into rural areas, but I wouldn't even know what it sounded like. I had relatives in Oklahoma and they had a twang when I was a kid, and we'd come back talking like them when we came home from visiting.
I think you said that wrong. Where did you go?
Did I make a mistake?
No. Where did you go? You just said where you went.
Oklahoma?
No. You know how you... Okay. This is the correct pronunciation. It is. Oklahoma.
Yes. Oh, every time somebody, especially somebody I know well, yawns, they'll go, and I say, Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down. Yeah.
There you go. Oh, that southern is very hills of... Now, is it Appalachia or Appalachia?
Appalachia.
Alabama.
What was I...
Well, bless your heart.
There, I heard such a funny accent the other day, but I can't remember where it was from. You know, for some reason, an East Coast accent, every time I hear it, I make fun of it. Like New York, New Jersey, because it's so ingrained in the culture from movies. It just sounds, it sounds fake to me, but that's how people talk.
Well, that record last week, the Beverly Hills Garbage.
Oh, yeah.
The man with the garbage. Beverly Hills Garbage.
Garbage. He said garbage.
John Randall has a word he wants me to say because he says it's a great word spoken with a British accent. Okay. Corduroy. Corduroy.
Is that supposed to be a... with British... Yes, corduroy.
Corduroy.
Oh, dear, I've spilt coffee on my corduroy.
You always make fun of me when it's... Let me say, March... at WFMU when we have a particular thing in March on the air where people pledge, and you always make fun of me because you say I say that word in a very specific British way.
March?
Begins with an M. What do we do every March on WFMU?
Marathon!
Do I say it like that?
You say marathon.
Marathon. No, that's what I'm supposed to do.
I'm overemphasizing because that's how you do accents, but
marathon.
We're doing a marathon. You want to come?
We're doing a marathon. I could do like a circle. We're doing a marathon. Do you want to come over to do the marathon and pledge?
It's that's funny when I hear people speak like that. It sounds to me like people doing a parody of people from California they've heard somewhere. And I'm in the middle of it. It's like swimming in the, I'm fish in the water. I don't notice when people say that. Although my girlfriend says like a lot. I know I do.
Yeah, but where did the whole vocal fry thing start? When did this become a thing? Because I don't remember this from when I was, I don't remember people in California. Like they were kind of like.
Did Moon Unit Zappa do a vocal fry for Valley Girl? I think she did. There's vocal fries in that, yeah.
Okay.
That was a minor craze here in Southern California when it happened. I remember they even had a Valley Girl contests on the radio in San Diego when I was in junior high.
I see Mr. Fab's comment.
What did he say?
Gigi doing a Valley Girl. Gigi doing a Valley Girl. Oh my God. Gag me with a spoon.
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't know anybody that spoke like that when I first heard that album. I was like, people talk like that? What's going on? The funny thing is, Fast Times at Ridgemont High is my high school. Not is, but if you went to Southern California high school at the time that movie came out, that's exactly what it was like. Wow. I mean, if you'd make a documentary about high school in Southern California in the late 70s, early 80s, whatever it was, yeah, it was just like that. Every character in there, I knew that type of character. It was amazing.
Whoa.
Yeah, okay. Cameron Crowe, who wrote the novel that the movie was based on, he did a really good job. He just went undercover and became a student for, what, a semester or a year or something?
Oh, John Randall. I'm from
Long Island.
Long Island! It sounds like everyone in my family, including me, sounds like a cross between Snagglepuss and Archie Bunker. Gosh.
What's up with yous? Where did you hear that? I can't do it right. Snagglepuss is, yeah, what? Exit stage right. I don't even know what those sound like together. That's amazing, John.
I went through a whole, like, massive hyperfixation obsession where I just watched every single episode I could find of the Long Island Medium because she's so just... Like
she's so Long Island.
Cartoon character.
Yeah.
She's a cartoon character. And she just like accosts people in the supermarket and says, "Excuse me, don't you have a grandfather who died?" And like just random people. And she's got a camera crew with her. And it's like, what? What is happening? What is happening?
I can't even think to do the accent right now. It's
Well, you
know who did it
lawn?
Best was, oh, I can't remember her name now. She was that annoying woman in the first Fran Drescher.
Oh God. Yeah.
I mean she's pretty and funny and all that, and her voice is like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah. But it's like mowing the lawn.
Mowing the lawn.
And then a chap. And then a piece of ground. So it's lawn, guy, land.
Lawn, guy, land.
It's like, how do you do an impression of Tina Turner dancing? Imagine you've got an invisible balloon between your knees. Think about it. Tina Turner dancing.
Huh? Yes, it is. You're right.
Yeah. You've got an invisible balloon between your knees, and you can't. Yeah, that's Tina Turner dancing. You're welcome.
Mr. Fab said, as a Valley native, and he is, I can attest that some girls really did speak like that Zappa song. Yeah, I think I experienced some of it. Sean Penn totally nailed the Valley dude voice. Yes, he did. Hey, I know that dude. Yeah, that voice.
It's the dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
dude. Yeah, I went on an extended, a friend of mine and I tried to do a whole conversation just by saying dude. Kind of like the John and Marsha thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude.
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 Dude. Dude. Hang on, I've got...
Oh my God, we've got 4 minutes. We've only been talking for 5 minutes.
No.
Well, we can go over a bit.
Yeah, why not?
We have got basically... Oh, we've got 5 minutes of music left.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got about 3 minutes of music left, so we'll just go till the music goes.
Okay. So now you all know, when you're sitting wherever you're sitting and you're listening to the music and you're thinking, gosh, this music's lovely. This is what we're doing.
Yeah, just talking about shit, making fun of things. Yeah, Johnny Ramone's Mr. Go ahead.
No, sometimes we sing along to the music as well.
I do that. Every once in a while, I'll interject in the music too because I like doing that. Yeah. But it doesn't happen as often as it should. I should do it more. Johnny Ramone's Mr. Fab, Johnny Ramone's widow Linda gets interviewed sometimes as an executor of the Ramone's estate, and she sounds just like Fran Drescher.
Yep.
Oh my God, everybody wants a piece of Johnny. Yeah.
Oh my God. O and H, mate, serves the same purpose as dude down here. All right, mate.
Yeah, it's it's many things. Dude is like it's a interjection. It's a term of endearment. It's a question. It serves so many things. It doesn't even have to mean an actual person. Go ahead.
No, I could give you the British equivalent, but not on a fine Christian program like this.
Please do.
We'd see you next Tuesday.
Is that a term of endearment?
See you.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I know what you were saying.
It's a term of endearment. It's abuse. It's people you don't know. It's people you do know. Yeah. It's a way of greeting. It's, yeah.
So when you listen to Derek and Clive, it's not that far off.
Yeah. Or the W word.
Oh, yes.
That rhymes with banker.
I think we can say that.
Can we say that?
Wanker.
No. No, wanker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I can't do a British accent. From all the Monty Python I used to watch, and their accents are all over the place.
You see, my medicine is your equivalent of Monty Python.
Monty Python.
I love Americans with T's.
You what?
D's. American T's are D's.
Mondi.
When you say Monty, you don't say Monty, you say Mondi.
I do?
I love that. You say Mondi Python.
I guess
no,
I do.
You say Monty Python. Yeah.
See, and here I am thinking I don't have any accent. But
you
I do.
Definitely.
I mean, well, I have an American accent, but, you know, I don't have a regional accent. I don't sound like somebody from California, I don't think.
Yeah, you do.
Do I? Actually, that kind of makes me happy.
Yeah, you definitely
I like
do.
That I'm from here. I'm like that I'm born here. I was born here. I grew up near Disneyland, for Christ's sake.
That blows my mind.
Until I was 10.
Did you used to go there a lot when you were a kid?
Yeah, we'd sneak in. There was no security, so you could sneak in under the gate. You didn't have any tickets, so you couldn't go on any rides. But you could walk around Disneyland. And nobody would bother us. I've had a dream for a long time, and I finally fulfilled it. I went to a antique mall. Antique mall. And I bought an entire set of Disneyland tickets, A through E tickets. And then I framed them, and they're all different sizes. So they're different sizes matted going up in this little frame that I had made. And then I had this, like, very mid-century modern, like, silver, blue, and all that matting and all that. So it looks all Tomorrowland-ish. But it's one of my favorite things because it's part of my childhood. It's part of where I grew up.
Yeah.
So I've got A through E tickets on my walls framed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's my parents crazy. Had a few left, but not all of them, or at least I couldn't find them. I think I stole them when I was, like, in college to put them up on my wall or something, and then I lost them all. Because they weren't any good by then. They weren't using the tickets.
Yeah.
So
this is like a fortune now to go to Disneyland.
It is.
It's like really expensive. It's ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but go ahead.
No, I sounded genuinely aggrieved by that. I don't know why.
Well, I'm aggrieved by it too. It's ridiculous. I mean, the Disneyland keeps raising the prices, and everybody goes. The Dodgers have raised season ticket prices. They used to be, I think, $8,000 when I was buying them. They're now $60,000.
Sorry. Go back. $8,000? What?
No, it was four. It was $4,000. I split it with another guy, so it was about $2,000, I think, a piece. Maybe it wasn't even that, because I could afford it at the time. But now season tickets to Dodgers games, season tickets are more than two cars.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so
I don't understand.
Yeah, and a friend of mine just said, my plumber actually, he just said, I'm not, and he's a New York Jewish guy. I'm not paying for that anymore. And so he said, it's like, what's the deal with the ticket prices being raised? And they said, well, if you don't like it, too bad, basically. What? I think Disney's the same way. I think they just wait till nobody has any money and nobody's coming anymore, and then they'll bring the prices down. Till then, if you got $200 or whatever the hell it is now to go to Disneyland, that's fine. I have a friend that used to work for Imagineer, and he'd take us there once or twice a year for free. So that was the only time.
Yeah.
And then my wife and I had passes for a while. We had annual passes for 2 or 3 years till we got sick of Disneyland.
Sorry, I was distracted by Jay saying Dick Van Dyke was responsible for a lot of American impersonations of English accents. I believe he's actually apologized in interviews for it, so he should.
He should. Marry. That was terrible. That was the most terrible British accent. I think there was a collection somebody put up online of really bad British accents in pop.
I mean, yeah, but I will counter that with there are a lot of British actors who do awful American accents. I will cite Ray Winston as a prime example of that, who cannot hold an American accent at all.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It works both ways. It works both ways.
It does.
Mr. Fab said, season tickets are for the whole year, not per game. It's still $4,000 a year. That's outrageous. Yeah.
And then somebody who's not a Dodgers fan, Bandit, said they're going to ruin baseball. Well, you know what? They probably are until something else happens, because regimes fall. I mean, at some point it's going to be, who knows? Maybe it'll be the Cubs for a while. Maybe it'll be San Francisco for a while. Who knows? But this decade apparently is a Dodgers decade, and there's a lot of argument about it. Anyway, we'll talk about baseball on this show, and we're probably out of time because it's 2:03 and the music ended.
We've got 3 more minutes before they stop recording us.
Here, let me put on the music again. at least have it running.
We can talk about whatever we want because we've got three more minutes. Can I just say, everybody in the chat, you've been delightful and lovely.
Yes, thank you so much. And hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Christina in Canada. DVD also said none of the English co-stars of Mary Poppins corrected him. That's because we're terminally polite.
Yeah, there was a lot of British, actual British actors in that. What the hell was going on? Well, we can't correct the star.
Here's what I reckon happened. Nobody actually said anything to him, but behind his back,
yes,
they were all complaining about him. So who does he think he is? Oh, coming in here talking like that, just discussing. Hi, Dick. Yes, it's lovely to see you. No, it's absolutely fine. Yeah.
My girlfriend's, one of her friends is Dick Van Dyke's wife. That's like 50 years younger than him.
What?
She was his makeup artist, and after they had worked together for a few years, I guess they started talking a lot and they got married.
So hang on. So there's you. So your girlfriend is one. Her friend is two. You're three degrees of separation from Dick Van Dyke. Wow, I love him.
Yeah, she sent. She showed during the Palisades fires. Dick Van Dyke lives up near there. His house was fine. It didn't get burnt. But she sent her a picture of her and Dick Van Dyke evacuating in their car, and he was smiling.
Oh my God. Wow. That's crazy. One of my friends went to school with the daughter of Windsor Davis. Probably one person will know who I'm talking about. There you go.
I know the name. Don't worry, Bandit. You did not start anything. I'm not offended whatsoever. I'm not one of those stupid sports people. One more thing before we go. Now it's 2:06. I told you the people at my friends I'm going to visit in Italy. The husband of my friend Susan apparently grew up with or knew the new Rita Pavone's manager.
Oh my God.
Because I was singing Rita Pavone in front of them and in front of Susan, and she said, like, oh, Massimo knows her manager. I think they grew up together. Like her last manager or husband that was like younger than her.
Oh my God.
She's still alive. She turned into a right wing politics person. It's weird. A lot of Italian like stars turn into like fascists later. I don't know why. Yeah.
How excited were you when you heard that piece of news, though?
I was. I was. I, I,